You're listening to the Smoke Meat Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Pittman. Smoke Meat is brought to you today by Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Such a great place to go. Jeremy and the gang make you feel like family every time you go. So make sure you go and have a great time. Remember, I goes to Joe's and so should you. That's Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Also sponsoring our show is the Four Points Trading Company. They make some of the greatest soy candles that I have ever seen, because I'm not a candle guy, but the first time I saw these candles and smelled them, I was hooked. Right now, I'm actually down here in the studio, and it smells like a sporting goods store because I'm burning leather, which smells just like a new baseball glove. It's great. So check them out. That's Four Points Trading Company at fourpointstradingco.com. You can put in the promo code SMOKEDMEAT, and you'll get 10% off. That way they know I sent you. And we've also got another sponsor now for the Smoked Meat Podcast. It's WW Restaurant Equipment in Thompson, Georgia. Call Blake. Great guy. I've known Blake for 40 years. One of my best friends. Man, he's got so much great stuff there. If you're a hunter, he's got everything you need to process your game. You don't need to pay nobody to do that. Get your own stuff. Have fun. Do what you want to with it. You got cubers, he's got grinders, you name it, he's got it. And he can get it to you a pretty good price, too. Thanksgiving's coming up. He has got so many different turkey fryers and pots and baskets, and you name it. Man, if you can't cook a turkey from this joint, you don't need to be cooking a turkey. You can get ice machines, you can get everything from small wares all the way up to a whole restaurant. I mean, Blake covers it all. And he's just a downright good guy. That's going to be WW Restaurant Equipment at the corner of Gordon Highway and Moose Club Road at 1894 Moose Club Road in Thompson, Georgia. Give him a call at 706-595-9511. That's WW Restaurant Equipment in Thompson, Georgia. Today on Smoked Meat, my guest is James from Ashes to Omens. And I tell you, they're an Athens, Georgia-based band. And I got no words, man. I used to live in Athens, and there was this bar that I would go to called the Night Owl. It hadn't been around in a good long while. And the first time I heard them, you know, I was sent their music, and I heard them, and it took me straight back there. You know, they're gritty. They're great. They've got good messages in their songs. I mean, their new song, War Cry, is about anxiety. And it hits home. And man, they're just such great people. You know, we had such a great time sitting back and just talking about Athens and music and a little bit of everything. I'm a huge fan, and after you hear this, you will be too. The music under me right now is War Crying at the end of the show. Keep listening, because I've got the whole song. James was great enough to send it to me and give me the license to play it. So we're going to do that for him at the end of the show. Make sure you keep listening to hear War Cry and go to their website, ashestoomens.com. So let's kick back and get this thing kicked off here on Smoked Meat. Hey, so how the hell are you, James?
Man, I'm not doing bad, brother. How about you?
Any better, I'd be twins. Yep. I've been looking forward to this. You know, I know we had some glitches the other day, and it's giving me time to sit and think some more about Athens and just the whole scene there, and I'm like, damn, I miss it a lot. And y'all are elbow deep in it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we love Athens, man. I mean, it's where we're from, so it's go dogs, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What you think about the game possibly being canceled this weekend?
Man, you know, you win some and you lose some. So It's unfortunately, I've never been able to actually – as close as I am to Athens, I've never been able to actually go to a Bulldogs game anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely disappointing that they're canceling it, or could possibly canceling it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, I don't like that traffic anyway.
Oh, so dude.
I can sit back on my couch with a cold beer and watch it.
Oh man, I held a grudge against the Dogs for years, because when I lived up there on game day, it'd take me 45 minutes to go 3 miles.
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, it's ridiculous. But I used to love Georgia-Florida time up there.
Oh, that's the time to be here.
Oh, yeah. We had a radio station up there did a promo who would do the most outrageous thing for 50-yard line tickets. And they had to go downtown, like around the Mellow Mushroom and all that on the sidewalk and do it. They had to put their money where their mouth was. And the winner, that I've got a strong stomach. There's not a lot that makes me sick. But the winner, Bob, for a piece of raw gator meat in a wash tub full of mayonnaise.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That,
no.
That's somebody wants to see a game right there. I was like, oh, dude, no. I'll buy you some tickets. No.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Oh, dude, it was bad. But
so how long did you stay up here?
I was up there for a couple of years.
Oh,
I moved up there with an ambulance service that I worked at. They shut down in Augusta, and they told me, said, if you move up here, we'll keep you on. And I was young and single. I'm like, well, I don't have money. Yeah, I said, I don't have money to move. They said, well, we have a spare room in the station. I'm like, well. So I did that, and, man, I loved it. It was great.
You know, it's been really nice up here despite, you know, COVID and everything that's been going on. Everybody's been, you know, fortunately very receptive to all the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere up here, well, I mean, since you're familiar with here, I mean, it's not like things move at a really fast pace in Athens anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it kind of worked out for everybody. It's been really, this past year has been tolerable, I guess I could say.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that one. You know, I enjoyed it when I lived up there, and, you know, we get to go back once in a while. I've only been to one dog game my whole life, and that was when I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I loved it up there because, you know, when I was there before the Georgia Theater burned, before they rebuilt it and everything, and I got to see so many great bands there.
Sure.
And, you know, the little bars that I would go to had these bands that just, you knew they were going to do something. And it was so awesome. And I loved that atmosphere up there.
Well, you know, the music scene, I want to say the music scene has changed tremendously. Mm-hmm. Just in the past 10 years. You know, unfortunately, I'm the only one that can kind of, you know, do the interview with you.
Mm-hmm.
But all the guys could really kind of attest to being in bands before, and just over the past 10 years, the music scene changing from being everybody supports music to just something different. And it's not that people don't support the music, but it's just there's so many other things going on. I feel like the consumption of media in general has really hurt music in Athens.
I can believe that, you know, and because when you get something like Athens had such a great music scene, you know, when I was there, it was the early 90s. And, I mean, it was just exploding there.
Jay and Jason.
Yeah, and we've been there. And we just loved it. But at the same time, when you have it so much and you get used to it, you kind of get complacent, and I think that's what they may be doing.
Yeah.
And that combined with the COVID, where it's hard to get out and do anything now, then I'm telling you, man, everybody thinks that actors and musicians, you know, they've got millions sacked away in the bank. We're cool. They can handle this. You know, not everybody can. That's like 1%. And so many musicians rely on these live performances and, you know, things like that, because you don't make a lot of money for a download of your song.
Man, it's been really tough. We've watched bands that we've played shows with over the past 3 years that was there with us in the very beginning, broken up, you know, moving on, getting out of music. And honestly, I mean, COVID has really hurt us. Fortunately, we released one single right before COVID happened, and then we released a cover song just as it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we released this new song a few weeks ago. And, you know, we had some accompanying videos to go with all these, but it's hurt us too, because we had tons of shows booked right at the beginning of COVID. We had a 6-week tour we had to cancel. And bandy bands already do not make a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, and new indie bands that are trying to tour, it's hard for them to get a guarantee, you know, so it's, if you don't have a following, then they can't guarantee you anything, but you want to play the show to try to get the following so that you can get the guarantee. And then, you know, and then all this happens. And as you slowly build up, you know, that reputation in the areas, then you get that following, right? Well, when COVID hit, it hit us probably really hard because we had just had a change in band members.
Mm-hmm.
So we had already had to cancel a bunch of shows. And then we had this tour that was going to start. And we lost a member, so we had to get this new member in. We had to train him before this new single was released so that we could start these tours. He played 5 shows with us, and then everything got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, okay, what now? So, you know, and you know, 2 of our members suffer from, you know, anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And music is our outlet.
Yeah. You
know, that's how we're able to live, you know, and that's, it's been, I think, really hard on two members specifically. And, I know one of them for sure. And, you know, just watching the venues not be able to run, you know, owners of venues and bars saying they're having to close down because, you know, this is their only means of support for their family.
Yeah.
You know, and things were banging, you know, a year and a half ago. And then all of a sudden it comes to a screeching halt. It's really scary. It's really scary for a lot of bands and a lot of businesses.
Yeah. And you know, the other ones that people don't think about, you know, the guys that run the lights, you know, the servers of a lot of these venues, you know, the behind the scenes people, there's actually a cause, it's called Save Our Stages.
Yep.
That's raising money for that, which is awesome because nobody thinks, you know, they just see the show. They don't think about how the show comes about.
Yeah. They don't think about roadies or technicians or the lighting guys or sound guys.
Yeah. And, you know, and those, I know for a fact, because I done been there, those jobs aren't the ones that have the 3 years worth of income saved up in the bank for a rainy day. You know, they're like, I've been most of my life, you know, week to week, here we go, let's roll these dice again. And and that sucks for them. And I'm ready for things to get to normal so that everybody can work and do what they need to do. But
yeah, we are too.
Yeah. But you know, you're talking about the anxiety and the depression, you know, and the music helping with that. I'm a firm believer in the healing power of music because I've been there.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I had told you before, you know, I had 2 strokes 5 years ago.
Holy smokes. No.
Yeah. I didn't know I had the first one. The second one, I was actually working on the ambulance when I had it. And it gave me a ferocious stutter. I mean, bad. And, I had, you know, I'll call it anxiety. I mean, I would just get this antsy feeling where I just couldn't sit still, you know?
Yeah.
And I cried a lot. You name it, I had it. And it was a combination of strokes and all those years of PTSD built up I never realized I had.
Yeah.
And I was out in my cook shack one day because I couldn't work right then. I was at home for about 4 months, you know, physically fine, just my eggs were scrambled. And I was cleaning my guns, and I had a lot of metal playing. I think I was listening to 5 Finger Death Punch.
Mm-hmm.
And you ever heard of a guitarist named Monty Montgomery?
I don't think so, no.
He is out of Texas, and when he plays, when he tours, he carries a old acoustic electric Alvarez with him. That's what he plays, period.
Okay.
And he did a version of Dire Straits' Romeo and Juliet on this thing. He's the only guitar on stage, and he's playing live, and he sounds like it's 3 people playing a guitar. He is a beast.
That's crazy.
But I decided I wanted to hear that, so I played it, and I realized shortly after, you know, I was singing it. And I was singing it note for note, no stutter, no nothing. And I did that, you know, for several days. I actually sent him a message on Facebook and like, look, dude, you made a difference because other songs, nothing had worked. And he actually called me and said, I needed to hear the voice. And that was so cool. But music healed that and helped heal it.
Yeah.
And so I'm huge on the healing power of music because I've been there.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what our new song is about. We released last Friday on October the 2nd. Was War Cry is a song about overcoming depression, anxiety, PTSD. It's dealing with, you know, mental health in general, you know, suicide awareness. Last week was Suicide Prevention Month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole goal of this song is at the end of the day to bring awareness to that, you know, to let people know that suffer from that, that they're not alone.
Yeah.
And we wrote this song, gosh, I think we wrote it about a year ago, actually. And I think we knew then what this song meant to us. Mm-hmm. And it's really resonated with our fans. It's our fans, one of our fans, you know, most favorite songs. So we're super happy to have it out there. We're super happy that it's, you know, left the impression that it has on people.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm just thrilled to have it out there, you know.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at a still from the video, you know, with the guy holding the white mask with a smile up.
Yeah.
When I send you my email address, I'm going to send you a picture of some ink that I'm actually about to get it's real similar to that idea.
Okay.
Because I understand that picture a lot. You know, you put on that happy face and nobody sees what's under there, you know. They don't see that you're falling the hell apart.
And
it sucks, you know. It's like you're hiding in another world.
I think, you know, that video comes out this Friday. Mm-hmm. It's gonna debut in three different places. HMM magazine, Heavy Metal magazine,
mm-hmm.
is got the exclusive for the premiere for it on Friday. And then at 12 o'clock, it's going to premiere on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after the premiere there, it's going to premiere on Facebook at 12:05.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of got it set up so that it, you know, premieres in several places, you know, kind of scattered. But I think a lot of the imagery that's used in this video, people are going to really resonate with.
Yeah.
And we used, you know, several people that we know personally that were dealing with that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
to be in the video, to take pictures of the video, you know, to hold some cards up and, you know, put words on it, and what they were dealing with and, you know, a phrase. And we got a huge response. So we're using, you know, a lot of that in that video. It's a lyric video, but the lyric video tells a story, you know, probably better than a actual music video would.
I'm looking forward to it. Like I say, I've seen some of the stills and man, I'm blown away, you know. And I love it whenever a band, you know, just or any kind of entertainment, you know, just doesn't use what they've got as, look at me, I'm a celebrity, kiss my ass. You know, when you know, okay, I can, this is out there and I can help promote this, you know, and I like that, you know, this is a good thing and I'm happy about it. I'm proud to know y'all about it.
Well, we appreciate that, man. I appreciate you letting me come on, you know, and kind of chat and talk and touch base and, you know, kind of talk a little bit about the music and, you know, where it come from, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think just in general, right now, and I know that you mentioned the whole, you know, oh look, I'm a celebrity thing. That I used to see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started as a band, we started in 2017, and I had just dealt with thyroid cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Got diagnosed with thyroid cancer in March of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the band in July of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so right after we started the band, we wrote the song. It was basically about me dealing with thyroid cancer, and kind of overcoming that. We shot a music video for it and released a single. And, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Oh, yeah.
So we feel like, we could always do better or whatever. But when we first started as a band, we played a lot of shows, a lot of different bands, and there was a lot of arrogance.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, oh, look at me, I'm a celebrity. And it's like, everybody's an indie band here.
Yeah.
You know, we played shows with real rock stars. You know, we played shows with Tom Kiefer from Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
We played shows with Rehab. We played shows with Lowell Water. You know, those are real rock stars,
mm-hmm.
in our opinion. You know, and we've shared the stage with great people, and they're all great people, you know. And I still talk to nearly all of them except Tom Kiefer because he's a superstar, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Nearly on a weekly basis. And one of the things that I've noticed is over the past 3 years, there's been significantly fewer arrogant musicians, significantly fewer quote unquote self-named progressives, you know, celebrities, and more people that actually give a damn about the message that they're giving their fans.
Yeah.
And I see it more in rock than I do in any other genre. You know, I listen to all kinds of music. You know, I listen to blues. I listen to gospel and country and rap, and I listen to everything because I want to know about all different kinds of music cultures. It influences how I write.
Yeah.
But I've seen just a drastic reduction in those types of people, and more people that actually care. You know, and I think that's great. You know, that just shows the power of music, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny, you know, doing this show, some of the people that I've gotten to interview, you know, I'm happy that I haven't been, you know, the big fanboy.
Sure.
You know, I get on and I talk to people. You know, I told you I don't do interviews. I make friends with a bunch of people listening. And, you know, I've had some people on here who were just freaking huge names. I mean, huge, like, you know, I was telling you, Kenny Aronoff. Kenny Olson, you know, he's Scott Page from Pink Floyd, you know, you name it, Norwood Fisher from Fishbone. And none of them threw out that, well, I'm a star, you better value this 5 minutes or whatever. No, we sat and talked for an hour just about whatever came up.
Sure.
And I still get to talk to them, and it's awesome. And you realize, you know, people are just people, no matter what they do. And
right.
You know, they don't have egos when easily any of these guys could just have the biggest one around. And they're all just good guys. And I love that. You know?
Yeah, you know, I think that's – it's interesting that you bring that up, you know, the human side of people. Because when you're growing up and you watch movies, you hear people on the radio, and you see people on TV, and those are celebrities, right?
Yeah.
But – I guess it doesn't really sink in. Like, you see people, like, a great example is, like, movie stars or whatever. And I remember back growing up, because I'm old. I remember growing up in the 80s. And as a kid, seeing, oh, this celebrity has this, you know, has this affair or whatever. They're married. Oh, next week they're divorced. And it used to be a joke in my household. It was like, oh, they're married this week because they're going to marry next week, right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because you'll watch that sort of thing, and the only time those people ever really seem human is when something really bad happens to them.
Yeah.
But they can do great stuff all day long. Like, my family, we're a huge Marvel fan, we're a huge Disney fan, and those actors, they go to hospitals and they dedicate all this time to doing amazing things for kids. For, you know, for American Cancer Society, doing Make-A-Wish and stuff like that. Incredible things that I hope maybe one day I'll have the opportunity to do that. I would love to do that. But, you know, that shows the human side of these people. But I don't think you saw much of that in the 80s or 90s. Or if they did it, they didn't announce it like they do now.
Yeah.
But you only ever heard about stuff when they were doing, like, bad stuff or something really bad happens to them. Like, God forbid something happened and somebody died.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just interesting to me, you know, that you don't really see the human side of people until something bad, especially as a celebrity, because you always see them as in these movies portraying these larger than life characters, regardless of what the character is.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's the reason why I do my show the way I do. You know, I could get on here and we could have started this out with my radio voice. I could have been like, so James, tell me about your new single. You know, done all the questions you've asked, answered 500 times. And everybody has heard the answers to those. You know, when I interviewed Fred Snyder from the B-52s.
Yeah.
And he taught me a lot without even trying. Because when I found out I had Fred, I wrote 3 pages worth of notes on the B-52s, on the history. Because, I mean, damn, man, that's, hello, Athens.
Right.
And I sat down and I started talking to him, and he got quiet for a second when I asked about Love Shack or something, and he said, you know, let's not talk about any of that. That's 40 years worth of history. Everybody already knows that. They can read it in the books. Let's talk about today.
Sure.
And it just scrapped 3 pages worth of notes that I had written, and I'm like, oh, shit, there goes this show. And in that moment, I figured out, okay, sit and talk to the man. And we had a really good show. I mean, he's such a nice guy, and you know, I found out I was really, really, really fortunate because he doesn't do a lot of these things at all.
Sure.
And that taught me, you know, if I can get on here and do the radio voice and ask you all that, but we're still talking about everything that you're doing. And we're just having a good conversation that makes people understand, like you say, that you're human, you know. They're getting to know you, and they're invested in you now.
Right.
And instead of saying, okay, that band is all right, they say, man, I heard James the other day on his show, and he likes fishing. He likes this. He likes this. He's like me, and they're more invested, and they want to hear what you do.
Right.
And to me, that's just wonderful.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that you use that phrase, that these questions you've answered 50 times, because I think on this most recent single, like, we've done 20, 25, 30 interviews,
mm-hmm.
and it's always generally the same kind of questions.
Yeah.
And that's great, because we don't mind, and we love talking about the music that we create, so we don't mind telling people how it's made and where it come from and what it represents and what does the name mean and all that. That's fantastic. Yeah. I love doing that. But I had this guy come up to me the other day, and he's like, I had this other interview scheduled. I think it was for a podcast even. And the guy's like, oh, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, oh, I've got this podcast with this guy. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. He hit me up wanting to do a podcast. And he's like, well, what's that like? And I was like, well, they pretty much ask the same questions. It's pretty much, you go to each one and you answer the same questions. And I finally got to do the interview with him, and he was doing, you know, very similar to your podcast, where you just have a conversation. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is refreshing.
Yeah.
Now, you got these other, like, rock superstars do like 500 to 1,000 interviews, and they're saying the same thing. And I'm sure that they appreciate that so much more.
Yeah.
but at the end of the day, it's like, oh my God, like, I just get to have a conversation with this guy. Like, this guy cares about me,
yeah.
you know, rather than tell me about your next single. What's up next? You know?
Yeah. So tell the fans where they can see you next. You know, if you got shows coming up, I'll get that out of you. You know,
yeah.
It's what it is. And I listen to podcasts because I'm in my car a lot, and I'm in my ambulance a lot, and I listen to them a lot.
What's your favorite podcast?
I have been listening to Mark Maron here lately a lot.
Okay.
And I kind of bounce around. I liked him. I like Joe Rogan. I don't get to listen to him a lot.
Okay.
There's another one. It's I can't think of the name of it, but it's man, that's one bad thing about the Strokes, is I lose words sometimes. It's Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett.
And interesting. Okay.
It's an awesome combination to begin with, but only one of them knows who the guest is at the beginning of the show, because they pick the guest.
Yeah.
And then they'll start the show, and the other two find out who it is. It's actually pretty good. I think it's Smartless, but it's pretty good. I think I've listened to all of those so far, because it's relatively new. And I like Dax Shepard also.
Dax Shepard. Okay. Yeah, he's a funny dude.
But yeah.
I've always been a huge Kevin Smith fan.
Oh, dude.
I was
in
the 90s, man. Like, Clerks and Mallrats, like, that's what I watched on repeat a lot, other than horror movies, because I was a huge horror movie fan. But ever since podcasts have become a thing, like, I've been religiously obsessed with Kevin Smith podcasts. I listen to his stuff every week when it comes out. I'm a huge fan of Hollywood Babylon.
Oh, yeah.
He does with Ralph Garman, and he does this other one called Fat Man on Batman,
mm-hmm.
which is him and Mark Bernard, and they just talk about geek stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because people that know me in my real life know I'm a huge geek.
Oh, well, welcome to my world. But yeah, I love Kevin Smith. Everybody asked me, why don't you try and get him on your show? And I just kind of giggle. It would be awesome. Kevin, if you're listening somehow and want to be on here, not a problem at all. But I think I would have to shut it down afterwards, because I don't know if I could go anywhere higher, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
well, the only thing you'd have to worry about is him going long, because he's real long-winded.
Oh, dude, I have no time limit on this thing. I'll publish a 6-hour episode. I could give a damn.
Yeah.
But I've had some of his people on the show. You know, I had Marion Gigliotti, who played the girlfriend on Clerks.
No way.
Yeah. Ernie O'Donnell. He was the, you remember in Clerks, the guy who was the personal trainer that came in?
Yeah.
Him. And he's been in almost everything Kevin Smith's done. You know, he's a childhood friend of him.
Holy cow. I had no idea that you had him on there.
Yeah. I've got two other people lined up. I'm waiting on the confirmation of the date and time. I've sent it out to them. But whenever we're done recording, remind me and I'll tell you who that is, because it's going to be freaking awesome.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
It caught me off guard. I got confirmation of it about 6 this morning.
I get the early scoop. All right.
Yes. It's going to be awesome. And you know, I've been lucky to have some of these people. And
sure.
I said I've been lucky to have everybody I've had. But at the same time, you know, you know as well as I do, there's, like, if you're playing with bands, if you can say, okay, I've opened for ZZ Top, as sure. opposed to, okay, I opened for the same band as us.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to try and open for ZZ Top. And then yeah. whenever you get bigger, you're going to go back and help the band like you.
You know, man, I will say this. We've opened up for a few bands that's pretty famous. We opened up for this band out of California called Demon and Me, mm-hmm. which was amazing. And then there was another band from California, which I'm absolutely ashamed of myself that I cannot remember their name, but they're from California, and we'd opened up for them too. But I got to say, man, the most fun we ever had, like we played Innovation Amphitheater opening up for Tom Kiefer. And that was, mm-hmm. that was amazing, because he's like a childhood idol.
Oh yeah.
I never got to actually meet him or talk to him because he stayed in his trailer all night, which is okay because that's what rock stars do. But Rehab are some of the nicest people I have ever met in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
They are down to earth. They all rode together like bands are supposed to do. They weren't arrogant. They hung out with us. We chilled and, you know, had a beer with them. They're some of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. If you can get any of those guys on, mm-hmm. I think you'd get some amazing stories out of them. But we played a show with them. It was about a year ago in this town. Since you're up from here, are you familiar with Houston?
What's that close to?
That's near Brazelton and Winder, Chateau Alon area.
Okay, yeah. I know that area.
This guy opened up this amazing bar in Houston, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
One of the coolest venues we've ever played. And had this huge stage and lights and sound, whole nine yards. And he had Rehab come play, and we had gotten to be friends with him, and he got us to open for him one night. Sold a ton of tickets or whatever, and got to play with him, meet him, and hang out with him. And unfortunately, the venue's closed down now, but due to everything that's been going on. But and it was amazing. So yeah, if you ever get a chance to get hooked up with Rehab, I definitely say, definitely have them on, because they would be incredible to chat with, I think.
I'll give them a check out. Yeah. There used to be so many great bars up there. And there were some really, really, really sketchy ones.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a club in, you know where Arcade is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You probably know the club that I'm about to mention. It wasn't open very long. It was that bad. Did you ever see the Ripcord?
I have heard of that.
Yeah. I never went, and anybody that knows me, I would admit if I had ever gone to it, because holy crap. But yeah, for anybody that doesn't know, that was the sketchiest strip club on the face of the planet. I won't say the stories I've heard because I wasn't there, and I don't want to spread them wrong, but holy crap.
There were some stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the stories are still around. The stories still exist.
Oh, yeah.
They shut down all those types of places in Athens.
Yeah.
Because of those same kind of stories, which has been more in the past, like, past 10 years, because of those similar stories that I imagine you've got from Ripcord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You see, I remember Toppers and Chelsea's there in Athens. Those were all right. Yeah.
I think Toppers is still open. I know Chelsea shut down years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm showing my age. I'm definitely showing my age. But I used to live right down the road from a bar up there. It was on 29. I think it's burned down now. It burned down a while back. It was the Silver Saddle. And that was the coolest little bar. It was just a little country bar. I say it was like Cheers with a jukebox.
Yeah, it's off North Avenue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's still there. I don't know. I don't think it's shut down. I think it's just no one's using it.
Yeah. It's almost to the Madison County line.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you kept going up the road past it, right after you cross the county line, you know that big pond on your left with a trailer up on the hill?
Yep.
I used to live in that trailer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Small world.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I loved it up there. I had such a good time when I lived there. I was, like I said, I was young and single, and, you know, I had a ball.
Yeah.
And I met some great friends there, you know, people that I still, you know, get to talk to this day, and some I don't get to talk to much, but I really wish I could. And,
yeah.
You know, another bar up there, and when I first hit play on one of y'all's songs, this is the first bar that came to mind. And I think you had told me that, you know, it's gone now, but was the Night Owl.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny, whenever I moved up to Athens, everybody told me, don't go in that place, man. That's a bad place. You go in there, there's going to be trouble. I learned a long time ago, if you go in somewhere looking for trouble, hell, church will get your ass kicked.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, if you go in somewhere not looking for trouble, just go in, hang out, mind your business, and don't bother nobody. Usually it turns out all right. And the Night Owl, I loved it because it was like that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the L-shaped pool table they had. That confused the hell out of me. But you drink enough and it straightens out pretty easy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
My mom used to tell me stories about the Night Owl before she passed away.
Yeah.
And she went there and she went to the J&J Center when the J&J Center used to house wrestling years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I honestly couldn't tell you where the J&J Center is now or if the building is even still standing.
I think they call it Mama's Country Showcase or Country Rock now, if it's the same place I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah that's called, it's not Country Rock anymore. Somebody bought that and renamed it. So it was Bumpers for a while.
Have they still got the old pickup truck up on the thing?
Yeah, that's still there.
Very cool.
That's off of 441, yeah. Actually, it's funny that that is the place, huh? That's interesting.
Yep.
I talked to that place, the guy that runs that place, a few months ago about coming up there and playing.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that runs that place now is he's completely remodeled it and it's absolutely gorgeous on the inside. Man, yeah. He's really really took it up a notch in there.
Very cool. Yeah, I needed to get my tail back up to Athens. I need to get back up there. You know, we used to have a bar called Cooper's.
Yeah.
And it's long gone, but that was our mainstay, kind of. If we weren't at Silver Saddle, we'd be at Cooper's. And yeah, I remember they had one side that had all the pool tables and the bull and all that stuff, and the other side was just the bar side where you could dance and do all that. And I remember about once a month, it was so awesome. They would have the Mail Review come in. That wasn't the awesome part.
Yeah.
The awesome part was all the ladies went in there. No guys were allowed. On the other side with the pool tables and all?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guys were allowed. And the show would shut down about 11 o'clock, and the guys were allowed in there? Dude, as a young single man, that was just a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they knew exactly what they were doing, and they made a boatload of money like that. Because, I mean, hell, we're all sitting over there on the other side playing pool and drinking, and okay, when's this shit going to be over, you know? Meanwhile, the ladies are next door having a good time and drinking and spending money. And oh, yeah. But now I heard it shut down. And last I heard it was some kind of buffet or something in there. And like, oh.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I hadn't been there in a long time. But I just had so many favorite, just great things I got to do in Athens. You know, I'd go to the Clyde Armory there on Atlanta Highway. Yeah. And you could go in there and rent machine guns and shoot them on their range. That was so much fun. Yep.
I don't know if they do that anymore.
Oh man, that's horrible. If it don't. No, it wasn't Clyde. It was the firing lane where I got to rent the machine guns. Clyde is still out there though. Clyde is a great place to buy stuff.
Yeah.
I've bought several guns through them. And Franklin's, I remember it. I bought some good stuff from them.
I haven't been in Franklin's in years.
Yeah. Yep, I bought a, what kind of pistol was it? I think I bought a Smith & Wesson J-frame in there.
Yeah.
Long, long time ago. Pistol's long gone.
Well, when you come up this way, man, let us know. We'll throw some meat on the grill and hang out and maybe drink a beer or something.
Hell yeah. You know, last week I did a 25-pound brisket and about 20 pounds worth of jerky.
Holy hell.
That was a great day. That was a really good day. As a matter of fact, I finished off the last of the brisket last night at work.
Yeah.
But oh yeah. But let everybody know where they can get a hold of y'all at, where they can see you at. Well, I mean, get your music out right now. I know right now they can't see you anywhere, but
yeah.
The best places to hear Ashes to Omens.
Yeah, so you can anywhere you want to hear, you know, hear the band, anywhere you hear music, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, anywhere. We're there. Deezer, Tidal, Amazon. I think the only place that we are not on right now is Sirius. Mm. And that's circumstantial. If you want to hear us, you know, on a platform, just all you got to do is call them, email them, and demand it. We got picked up. Warcry, the new song, got picked up by a bunch of FM stations, and it's currently in rotation on a lot of FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently in rotation on a lot of college radio. So we are, you know, super thrilled that it's made the moves that it has. So if anybody wants to check us out, they can check us out there. Interesting, always follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and normal places like that too.
Very cool. Very cool. We're going to get this thing out. I'm going to lead this show out. We're going to play Warcry for everybody. Y'all listen to it, enjoy it, love it, and just have a good one.